Let's see. Can you hear me okay?
Very good.
Very good. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. I want to start today by telling you about an opportunity I once lost. Definitely a lost opportunity. It was 1970, and Linda and I were married in May of that year towards the end. And I taught summer school that year, so we kind of had a delayed honeymoon. We didn't get to go away till, I guess, August. And we went down to Florida because I always liked to scuba dive and do that sort of stuff. And I knew the water was clear down there. So we went down. We had a great time in Florida. And on the way back home, we passed through this little unknown piece of swampland called Orlando. And there was a guy with a little trailer out there. And we went in to see what was going on. And he tried to sell me some land. Bless you. He tried to sell me some land for a couple $1,000s for so many acres, and I wasn't interested. You know, I said, why do I want to buy Florida swampland? Well, you know what happened to that Florida swampland, right? About 10 years later or so, Disney World was buying up those parcels for 10 times, 20 times what people paid for them. I was like, oh, why didn't I buy that swampland? You know? So it was a lost opportunity. Today I want to tell you about an opportunity that you do not have to lose, okay? And the title of our message today is Time Alone with Jesus. Time Alone with Jesus. So there we go, yeah. If you would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, Exodus 33. There's probably some pew Bibles around. If you have your Bible, that's great. And we'll be looking at verses 7 through 11, Exodus 33. The title in my Bible says the tent of meeting. It may say something like that in your Bible if your Bible has headings. I think the words are also going to be up there on the screen. So let's take a look at this passage. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. So this is the time when Israel was in the desert, and they had a camp, which they lived in, but Moses would go outside the camp, and he would set this little tent up and call it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man would speak with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Blessed is the word of the Lord. Okay. We all need a tent of meeting. We all need a place where we can go to be alone with the Lord. Okay? A quiet place, a place without distractions, away from the family, away from the TV, away from the computer, away from the phone, right? And we need to go there often on a regular basis to be with our Lord. When you go there, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And there you can speak and pray to the Holy Spirit. You can say, Lord, I need you today. Lord, reveal yourself to me today. Lord, show me more of who you are. Lord, I need you so much. Please come to me today and meet me in this place. And when you do that, when you go to your tent of meeting, he will meet you. His presence will be with you. And he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you in that place. He will refresh you there, and he will encourage you there. Moses went to be with the Lord. And Moses spoke to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Okay? Something that is open for everyone. The more you go and seek to be with Jesus, the closer your relationship with him becomes. You know, but we must turn from this world, and we must fight for that time and secure that time in our lives. We have to spend time in the presence of the living God, because that's who he is, the living God. Now, the tent of meeting was not just for Moses. Anyone could go to the tent. Anyone could go there. Nobody was turned away. You know, I'm anyone, you're anyone, so we can all go to that tent of meeting. And it's open to all of us. Now, Joshua had a very special relationship with the Lord, we know. A very close relationship. And it didn't happen just by accident. You know, Joshua wasn't casual about his relationship with the Lord. He spent much time with the Lord in that tent of meeting. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. We all know what a great man of God Joshua became, right? He was one of Israel's greatest heroes. You know, he led the nation of Israel into the promised land across the Jordan River. He defeated many, many enemies there as he, you know, cleared out the land to secure that land for the chosen people. And, you know, Joshua is just a great man of faith, a great man of the Lord's energy, a great man of the Lord's strength. Where did that come from? You know, where did that come from? Well, it started when he was a young man, when he went and spent time in that tent of meeting. That's where his strength and where his faith began to grow. You know, so I would encourage all of us today, but especially our young people here, to break through and have time with the Lord in that tent of meeting, just you and him, because he will speak to you there. He will grow your faith there. He will strengthen you there. Right? You know, do you, I guess our question today, my question for you today is, do you long for that? You know, do you long for that deeper closeness with the Lord? Then go away and be with him. You know, a wise friend once said to me, if you want to have more of God, you have to give God more of yourself. And that's very true, very true. So find your tent of meeting, your place where you can go to be alone with the Lord. You know, now, you already may have that. You may have a really good devotional life, a firm devotional life. That's excellent if you do. But I'm sure some of us here today need to establish that in our lives. We need to find that place of meeting, that tent of meeting, a place where you can go and be alone with Jesus. That's what it's all about. And ask him to help you find that place. We can all use more time with the Lord than what happens on Sunday morning. You know, God has so much more for us, so much more he wants to give us. You know, and he wants to give us himself. He wants to give us his presence. And the way we really learn to experience his presence and come into his presence is by having that tent of meeting established in our lives. Now, you know, I'm not talking about a Bible study time here. Bible study is very important. You know, everybody should have some Bible study time in their life. The Word of God is, well, it's the Word of God. It's awesome. Nothing more powerful than it. You know, I have my Bible study in the morning when I get up. My Bible's there. I have a little notebook. I read sequentially through the Bible. I'm reading in 1 John now. I'll read a couple verses and pray and, you know, write down what I think the Lord's saying to me. Sometimes you just copy the verse right out, right in my little notebook. So we all should have that Bible study time. But what I'm talking about now is a time where you just go before the Lord with no agenda. And you say, Lord, I'm here to hear from you. I'm here to listen to you. Lord, I just want to hear your voice. This is what I'm thinking about today, Lord. What are you thinking about today, Lord? Help me with this, Lord. I need help with this. Please help me with this. I need you. Just that kind of time. Now, praise and worship should certainly be part of that time, you know, our time alone with him. When we come before God, we can praise him and worship him. And that's a very cleansing and refreshing thing when we do that. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Good, good. You know, sometimes I think it's a very thin wall between where most Christians are and where God really wants them to be. And that thin wall is establishing that precious personal devotional time in your life, that 10 of meeting time in your life. He wants you to come away and be with him. Now, let's not say I'm too busy. Let's say I'm too undisciplined. I like the TV too much. I like to spend too much time texting my friends. God loves honesty. Let's be honest. Okay? Right? I'm not too busy. We all have the same amount of time in the day. It's just a matter of setting priorities. That's all it is. Yeah. So pray about these things, and he'll help you. You know, he'll help you find the time and the place. In the evening, my wife, Linda, you know, she'll often say to me, Greg, I'm going to go have my time alone with Jesus now. And I love it when she says that, because, you know, I know where she's going, and that encourages me to remember my time. So why is it so important? Why is it so important? Because the Lord is your source. The Lord is your source. The Lord is your everything. He's your everything. And we need him so much. We need him so much. And he longs to be alone with you, to have precious time alone with you. Listen to what Andrew Murray said. Andrew Murray was a brilliant theologian and Bible teacher years ago. And I think we have that quote going up. Listen to this. I love this quote. Time alone with the Lord Jesus each day is the indispensable condition for growth and power. Right? Right. Time alone with the Lord Jesus each day is the indispensable condition for growth and power. When we spend time alone with Jesus each day, he fills us with his presence, his power, his peace. You know, he helps us to get our priorities straight. You know, he reminds us to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. And that's our relationship with him, our personal relationship with him. He is our source. You know, when we go to be with him, his life, his presence just flows into us. And he equips us for all the works he has for us to do. You know, sometimes life is hard, but it's not meant to be as hard as many of us make it be. Okay? With the power and presence of Christ in our lives, you know, meeting with him and letting his life flow into us, life gets a lot easier, folks. It really does. You just roll it over onto him. And I see Barb shaking her head there. Hard times. Some of us go through hard times. But when we meet him in the tent of meeting, oh boy, he just carries those burdens for us. He just carries his burdens for us. You know, do you know what happens when you go to that quiet place and pray and worship? Well, you know, he sees you there. He sees you in that place. And I believe that all of heaven and all the resources of heaven and all of the power of heaven is released to us in that place. He sees that you're serious about your relationship with him because you're giving him time. And time is the most precious commodity we have. I think it's easier for us to give God money than time, right? A money, giving God the tithe and whatever, more than that, very important. But giving God time, it's the most precious thing we can give him. Now, here's an interesting thing now. You know, you can't give anything to God that he doesn't give back to you. And we know that with the tithe, because, well, you know, you give and it's like, I'm never short of money because God takes care of all my financial needs. He proves himself. Well, he'll do the same thing with time. You give him your time, and he will multiply time back to you. You will find you have more time to do the things you need to do. He releases all of heaven to us. He says, you know, here is my son. Here is my child. You know, here is my friend. What do you need today? Because we're called his sons, his friends, his children. And he treats us that way and deals with us that way in love when we come to him. Something, I like the word dynamic. Very dynamic happens when we come to be away with the Lord. It's like an explosion of his power just comes into that place. You know, his power goes forth. You know, sometimes he'll even release his angels to us. We don't think a whole lot about angels sometimes, you know, but God commands this whole host of heaven called angels, you know, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of beings. I mean, they're big, you know, people have seen them. I don't want to see one because I don't want to pass out. But You know, I've heard what happens to people when they see angels. But there's these majestic, strong beings that God has made, you know, with those swords, and they glow in light, and they're all around us. They're around us. And he sends them forth to do his bidding. They're his workers. I think he has angels for different appointments. I think he has financial angels. I think he has health angels. I know he has gardening angels, okay, that just help people where they need help. His angels go forth like a whoosh of his spirit, you know, to minister to us. And sometimes when you're in that quiet prayer time, something may happen right there and then. But things are still going around. Things are still going on. Often what I find is an hour later or 2 hours later or later in the day, oh, wow, how about that? Wow, the Lord just did that, you know? It's like the spin-off from spending time with him, the reward for spending time with him. So come into his presence. We all need to go there, you know, and let his river of grace be released to you. The word says, you have not because you ask not. But the word also says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know, what a promise. The Lord says, you come and spend time with me, and I'll come and spend time with you. Take advantage of that promise. Take advantage of that promise. Find your tent of meeting. Go there and spend time with the Lord. Why is it so hard to do? Well, why can it be so hard to establish this in our lives? I know I struggled with it for years. I love to read my Bible, and I could do that for hours. But I struggled for many years with finding a really good devotional life. And I can say that it's happened over the last number of years that I've incorporated that into my life. And it's one of the greatest, it is the greatest blessing in my life. To learn to have time alone with Jesus. Okay? If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. So, why is it hard? Well, because we're weak. We're weak. As humans, we're weak. The world has its attractions. And we need to ask God for help in that. You know, sometimes we just can't, you know, willpower doesn't last very long. We need to ask God's help with that. Lord, help me. Help me. Find it. When, Lord? Where? Help me. And he will answer that prayer. We even need his help to establish that time in our life. You know, his word says, without me you can do nothing, and nothing is nothing. You can't even establish that time without his help. So another reason why it's hard is because we certainly have an enemy. You know, Satan is real. I heard some Christians today that they believe in God and they don't believe in Satan. I don't get that. Satan is very real. He's a very real enemy. Okay? He's all through the Word of God. Jesus said more about Satan than he said just about anything else. Satan is a real enemy, and he will do everything in his power to keep you from your time alone with Jesus. He does not want that to happen. Okay? Why doesn't he want it to happen? Because you were created to have fellowship with God. You were created to have union and intimacy with God. And Satan will do everything in his power to tear that apart, to not let that happen, to put distractions in your way. So know that you have an enemy. Yeah. But when we come to him and when we establish that and we show our allegiance to Jesus, Satan is a defeated enemy. He is a very defeated enemy. I believe the strongest stand we can take against our enemy is establishing a time alone with Jesus in our life. That's a powerful place to be. You know, Christians have been given an opportunity that no other people have. You know, God says, come and spend time with me, and I'll spend time with you. I was thinking about the Muslim faith, the Muslim religion. And, you know, they don't have that opportunity. As I understand it, a Muslim relationship with God is more of a slave-master relationship. Muslims do not believe they can have a personal relationship with God. Isn't that strange? They don't. They believe even to think you can have a personal relationship with God is a sin. That's sinful. Because God is so high and lofty, Allah is so high and lofty, that you cannot approach him personally. He doesn't care about your daily things that you do or whatever. He's not a personal God. And maybe you'll get to heaven someday, and maybe you won't. It's up to really his whims. Right? This is why we see so many Muslims around the world coming to Christ. Because they're being reached through dreams and through visions, right? right? Incredible dreams and visions. In countries where they don't even hear the name of Jesus spoken, because of the prayers of the saints, people were getting dreams and visions. And there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of believers in Muslim countries who believe in Jesus. They're undercover. But they sleep and they have this vision and they wake up and they say, wow, that was Jesus. It's like, I see who God really is now. He cares for me personally. He cares about the little things in my life. And it's, that's who I want. That's who God really is. So keep praying for the Muslim world, because it's our prayers, I believe, that the Holy Spirit transports those visions and dreams. And the testimonies are amazing, if you've ever read any of them. Incredible about how, you know, they come to Christ. So, yeah. Go and have time alone with Jesus. Your time alone with him. You know, what power will be released into our lives? What power will be released into the church when all of the church seeks the Lord the way he intends? Now, what should you do when you go to be alone with Jesus? Well, you certainly should have some time, I believe, to thank him and to pray worship, to thank him and to worship. You know, he wants to hear the song that's in your heart, okay? He delights in hearing the song or the thanks that's in your heart. That means a lot to God. There's really, I think, two kinds of praise. When we come here on Sunday morning, we give praise to the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. And that's really what we call, it's like an orchestrated praise. The leader today, Linda, you know, she prayed over what song she should bring to the congregation, and she came up with a song list, and she leads us, and we join in, and we sing the words. Okay, and you know, the words become real to us and we truly are worshiping the Lord, and it's a beautiful thing that the church absolutely should do. Orchestrated worship. But there's another kind of worship. I like to call it authentic worship. And that's when you come to the Lord by yourself. Just you. You go into your closet like Jesus says, you shut the door, and then God, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Yes. And you bring your thanks and your praise to him. Okay? Authentic worship. And of course, you should talk to Jesus in that place. You know, you should pray. You should keep it simple. You know, tell him how you're feeling. Tell him how things are going. Ask him for help where you need help. You know, sometimes I think that we think things are too little to bring to God. Nothing is too little to bring to God. Nothing is, you know, what part of your life do you think God is not concerned with? What part of your life do you think God is not concerned with? He's concerned with every part of your life. Now, I love it when funny little prayers get answered. I like it when big prayers get answered. That's great. But funny little prayers. Here, I'll show you a funny little prayer. See? This is one of the littler ones. Okay. Zucchini, right? My garden this year has been unbelievable. I know you've seen all this stuff coming in here, and that's about a third of it. A lot of it goes to my neighbors. We drop it off at the gym. We all over the place. And my yard isn't that big. So it's gotten to the point, though, where when I approach one of my neighbor's houses anymore, if they see me coming, they shut the door and draw the blunt. Oh, no. Yeah. So I'm there, Lord, what am I going to do with all this zucchini? It's like, you know, thank you. Some of you made zucchini bread and gave it back to me. It was delicious. Thank you. But, you know, I said, what am I going to do with? I just can't give any more away. And so I thought, and I prayed, and I have a little food dryer, and I dried apples in it and things like that. I said, maybe I could dry zucchini. So I went online, and I looked it up, and I saw there's such a thing as zucchini chips. I said, oh, that sounds good. So I cut up the zucchini little pieces, and I put it in the dehydrator, and I put some sea salt on some, and some onion salt, garlic salt, and man, I know some of you are looking like, it was great, I'll tell you, they were great, I was eating by the handful, I mean, a million times healthier for you than potato chips, so I made healthy zucchini chips, so yeah, so does God care about the little things?
Yes.
Of course he does, of course he does, and when he answers a prayer like that for me, you know, I say, well, Lord, thank you, because you care about the little things too. You care about the big things, and you care about the little things. So, it shows us how much he really cares. So, What a great God we serve. I had, when you came in today, in your bulletin, there was a little booklet. And if you can get that out now for a second. Hopefully everybody has one. If you didn't get one, it's called Time Alone with Jesus. Time Alone with Jesus. Does anybody need one? You like it, Paula? I've given it to a few people, and a couple of them got back to me and told me that it's really helped them in their personal devotional. If you didn't get one, if you don't, put your hand up, because Kim has some more, and we have a couple extras. Here's a couple up here, Kim. A couple up front. But anyway, I'd like to thank Catherine, because Catherine put this book together for me. She's a great help in putting things together. It's actually her cover design. Isn't that a beautiful cover? Time Alone with Jesus, yep. So, if you choose to use this, this book, I believe, can be a help to you in your personal time with the Lord. It'll just propel you into worship and some time with Him. So, it's really, if you look back, I have a little message there. You can look at that later on. But if you go to the list of scriptures, it's really just a list of scriptures that I think, and I went through the Bible, and it took me a while, of course, and I just pulled out scriptures that I thought were good scriptures to evoke praise. And, you know, praise is the way we enter God's presence. We enter His presence through praise. So when you use this, when you go into your own tent of meeting, you'll just get it out. And let's say, for example, I'll go to Psalm 93. I'll pick Psalm 93. And you're not just going to read the psalm. You're not reading it, but you're using the psalm to praise the Lord, to come before the living God and praise Him. So if I took Psalm 93, I would come before the Lord and say, you know, Lord, thank you for bringing me here today. Thank you for this time. And the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. Lord, you are from all eternity. You live forever and ever and will always be. So what you do is you take the psalm or the verse and you just jump off into praise. You just jump off into praise with it, right? And yeah, that's how it goes. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Yeah. You ever been down the beach and you look down the length of the beach and you see those waves coming in? You know what power there is in those waves? You know, you can't even stand up against a good one. It'll knock you right over. You know, Lord, you are mightier than all the waves. Mightier is your power than all things. Lord, you are more infinite than all the grains of sand on the sea. So, a lot happens when you do that. You may sit there and think, boy, it's kind of quiet in here. It's me just reading this psalm before the Lord. Not much is going on. Don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. There are things going on in heaven. You know, angels are being released. There is power going forth. Okay? It is an incredible, incredible thing. It reminds me of the old illustration I like to use for prayer. I remember once, when I was a young boy, my dad took me down to Philadelphia, and we saw this building being demolished. And it was in the old days. They didn't use dynamite back then. They had what was called a wrecking ball. And this crane would swing this giant ball into the building. And we would stand there, and we're looking up, and, you know, nothing was happening. It was just the ball would swing back and forth. Not much was going on. It would smash the building, but something was going on. See, inside that building, the structure was beginning to weaken and shake. If you were standing in that building near that wrecking ball, you would have felt something was going on. But it to us appeared nothing was going on. And all of a sudden, the building just started to topple. Right? That's what happens when we go to be alone with the Lord and we worship Him when we pray. We might not see it immediately, but believe you me, God is working. Things are going on. Okay? Amen. Yeah. Good. Well, this is a subject that's been dear to my heart for some time, and I'm glad I had a chance to share it with you today. And I'm going to ask Linda to come on up now and lead us in some songs. Not songs, just play some background music. That would be great. And the altar's open if you want to come forward for prayer. Some of you may come up, want to come up and just say, Lord, I thank you for my personal time with you. I thank you that when I go to be with you during the week, you're there and you meet me. If you want to come up and thank God for that, that's fine. Some of you may want to come up and just say, man, Lord, I really need you to establish this in my life. You know, if I'm honest, I talk to you on Sunday and that's about it. And I just need you to establish this in my life. I want to have more of you in my life. Well, you come on up and you ask God to help you with that. And if there's any other prayer needs, if anybody wants other prayer, you know, come on up, or Fabian and I will certainly pray with you. So, amen? Amen. The Word of God is good. The Word of God is true. Amen. Thank you. Greg,